Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us at Nikki Dare Radio on Blog Talk Radio, heard worldwide by millions of listeners, with your lovely host, Ms. Nikki Dare. Our podcast, hosted by Nikki Dare, is your home for education to safety and survival, leadership and inspiration. Nikki Dare is the founder of iDare Inc., a registered 501c3, with its mission to educate and mobilize resources for preparedness and sustainability. iDare is a grassroots credo and personal mission based on its pillars of excellence: integrity, diversity, adaptation, resilience, and empowerment. Ms. Dare's personal mission is to help you encounter your purpose by unlocking your inherent potential and finding joy in the journey. Nikki Dare is the published author of The Audacity of Veracity, a columnist, Women in the Field of Western Outdoor News, California's publication of Fishing and Hunting. Ms. Dare is a certified firearms instructor in rifle, shotgun, and handgun, RSO, range safety officer, and CERT, Community Emergency Response Training Member, a FEMA certified training, women's advocate, transformational mentor, and a seasoned BPR change management consultant since her early 20s in transforming companies. And decades later, she is reinventing her purpose. Nikki Dare's life has been spent passionately in helping others going through transformation, both personal and professional. And now, here's your lovely host, Ms. Nikki Dare.
Hey, welcome back. Glad you can join me back again. I'm Nikki Dare, your host at iDare Outdoors. Happy Friday, Southern California. Glad to be back here again. Nug Talks, episode 2, Nug Talks. The response to the launching of this new show, Nug Talks, has increased dramatically. I am so excited. I'm very humble to know that this topic has connected to many of you. Thank you again, you folks out there, for listening. We are bringing back Mr. Stefani to our studio this morning, discussing what many of us women ask prior to owning firearms. How does a woman buy her first handgun? From woman to woman, topics and questions are commonly asked to me from my students or at the range from first-time shooters. How does she find out what questions to ask, what right questions to ask? Too often a woman is introduced to handgun usage through men in her life, father, brother, husband, even grandfather. Here with me in my studio, a returning guest, Mr. Richard Stefani, a California Department of Justice certified firearms instructor and Utah concealed carry instructor, has been teaching firearm safety for over 30 years. Mr. Stefani has taught combat handgun to both law enforcement and security personnel. Not only that, he has survived home invasion, carjacking, and attempted muggings. I am so grateful to have you again, Mr. Stefani, in my studio this morning. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Nikki.
Hey, let's get into this. This is so compelling. The question is that, so how does a woman buy her first handgun?
Well, the key, Nikki, is finding a knowledgeable firearms instructor first.
Okay. A knowledgeable firearms instructor should raise the right questions for a woman to consider then. You know, I want to mention this. The NRA has a, what we call it, Women on Target Instructional Shooting Clinic program, where a multitude of qualified instructors help women to get started using a one-on-one qualified, certified instructors, students ratio. And then, in fact, Women on Target Instructional Shooting Women on Target Instructional Shooting Clinic program is breaking all records for women attendance already in the past couple of years.
Well, Nikki, I'm not surprised.
The
instructors that volunteer their time for this program offer a number of options for women to consider, and these instructors do not impart their own personal bias in the instruction. These guys are just great.
You know, buying a gun, first of all, is expensive. We all know that, right, as gun owners. In addition to the cost of the gun itself, there are other things to consider: taxes, transfer fees, storage, boxes, safes, vaults, all of these things, other accessories that may be specific to that particular gun. So a woman is willing to spend her money. I mean, I hate to say this, similarly, like shopping. But too often, her needs are ignored. I've heard too many times about gun store sales being, I should say, indifferent to women. What I mean by that we women wind up buying guns that are on sales of the week, you know, being promoted that week by the sales guys there. Buying the wrong gun would waste a lot of time and money without trying it out first. A woman does not buy a pair of shoes without putting them on or trying them on first, right?
That's right, Nikki. The gun should fit properly in the woman's hand. She should be able to manipulate the gun in every way. And those ways are loading, unloading, manipulating the slide and such in order to handle the gun. But also, the recoil should be controllable so that she poses no danger to herself or to others.
Yeah, that's a very good point, too. This is without trying the gun, firing caliber on hand and everything like that, it's impossible to know all of this. So what you're saying is that a woman should be given several guns to try in order to find out what gun is best for her then, you know?
Absolutely, Nikki, absolutely.
You know, revolver, is it the best? What about semi-auto? What about caliber? Okay, here's my 28 cents, inflated 28 cents from the 2 cents that we spend at 2 cents here. Largest caliber which you can guarantee your hits with. In other words, tight group and center mass of 22 calibers is much better than a peripheral miss of a 45. And that is my two take right there.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Nikki, but you know, one thing, it should also be understood when a woman is taking a look at what gun to fire, it should be understood that the way one gun fires a specific caliber is not necessarily the same way the other gun from another manufacturer will fire that same caliber.
True. Okay, explain to us what it is. Why it's so?
Well, let's say you have a Glock 9mm and a Sig Sauer in 9mm. Mm-hmm. Both guns would be of the same size and same barrel length. However, the Glock is a lighter gun, and it's possible for the shooter to experience more recoil with that specific gun than the heavier Sig Sauer. The same is true of guns from the same manufacturer. One gun is full size and the other is subcompact.
Yeah. I agree totally. Ah, like the analogy is that of a car, you know?
Well, of course, sports cars feel and drive much differently than large four-door sedans. In addition, a gun that is brand new may recoil less than a gun with a worn-out recoil spring. These things are subjective,
yes,
and
very
so it
subjective.
Really needs to be custom fit to the shooter.
I completely agree then. So what size should she buy?
Well, Nikki, you know, there's three basic sizes, right? Large, medium, and small. Now, a woman really should try all three to see which fits her better. Can her fingers reach the slide lock, the magazine release? Is she strong enough to even rack the slide back? Of course, we have to address left-handed shooters. Does the instructor know how to teach a left-handed woman? The woman needs to actually fire a revolver in different sizes and calibers as well, because the semi-automatic may not be right for her. And then she also needs to fire a different size of semi-automatic. So we're talking about a number of different sizes and calibers.
So do the instructors have that kind of inventory to offer this kind of evaluation? You know, I mean, I can answer that question, I guess, you know, because at the NRA Women on Target programs, I'm going back to that program again, it offers exactly this kind of gun evaluation. Right? Many sizes, calibers are offered for the first-time women shooters to try. And I think that's a smart idea.
Nikki. In addition, there are a number of ranges across the country that rent guns.
Yes,
a woman should call
also,
the
right?
different ranges and find out about the availability of guns that are for rent at that specific range. But with all this said, Nikki, what we really need to emphasize is the safety factor.
Very much so, very much so. And I want to weigh in on that. It's a smart idea, renting it first. You know, what we're saying here, basically, folks, is that, you know, rent it out first, try it out first before you invest so much money on it. It is always a time and money. Even when you go home and, you know, you go out to the range and then that's not what you want. That's not the gun that you want. Before you invest in purchasing this gun, you know, feel it in your hand, how it shoots by renting it out and everything. A woman should definitely take the NRA basic pistol course before she buys her first gun. She will learn the fundamentals, safety, protocols of gun handling. She will learn also the nomenclature of the gun and ammunition. She will learn the ergonomics of the handgun, varieties of these guns, and what will fit her the best. In addition, she will learn, like you said, the safety is important. Procedures of loading and unloading a gun. All of these, you guys, are crucial for any person who's interested in owning a NUG. I should say NUG, right? A gun. Safety is for everybody. Safety is
Nikki, crucial. I could not agree with you more.
Paramount to all. Paramount to everybody. Well said, Mr. Stefani. I think that's been wonderful, you know, your resource for the women listening today. And, you know, I think there are a couple other topics. We've been running out of time all the time, so I really want to cover these firearms and so the weapons that we talk about for self-defense. Let's get into this. Do you mind? What about this, the other kinds of guns for best self-defense than the handgun that we just talked about?
Well, Nikki, you know, a lot of people, you know, advise that the shotgun is the best home self-defense weapon. But it must be understood that it is heavy, and it may be too much for small women. It has a longer learning curve than a handgun. It has a long barrel, and that long barrel, the size of the shotgun, may be difficult to maneuver in hallways or where furniture is around. So it also has a heavier recoil than a handgun. So the shotgun may or may not be the best, and for all these reasons, there are some things to consider about the shotgun.
A lot of things to be considered. What about rifles?
Well, for the same reason. Again, it may be too long or too heavy for a particular woman, especially smaller women. It does have a longer learning curve. And again, because of its length, hallways and furniture present a problem. The person's going to swing that long gun,
right,
shotgun, or rifle and knock over a lamp, and all of a sudden they're distracted at the time when they need to concentrate on the emergency.
The subject itself. The handgun seems to fit the bill. So far, it is small and easy to handle in tight quarters, like you're saying, you know, around the house. Much lower recoil than the rifle and shotgun.
Absolutely.
What about accuracy?
Well, a shotgun will hit a broader target if birdshot or buckshot is used. However, if a slug is used, much more recoil is going to be felt by the shooter. And, of course, the accuracy, we have the same issue as a rifle or a handgun. You have one projectile going downrange.
Right.
So from an accuracy standpoint, you know, the rifle and handgun are the same with regards to accuracy issues. You've got to be spot on.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, Nikki, the handgun has a very short learning curve. Very small,
right,
easy to handle, very simple.
Very simple. All right. Well, there's some questions that I want to address. If I rack the slide on a shotgun, would that scare the intruder? Things like that.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, you know, that we see that in movies
a
lot.
In the movies a lot, right?
Exactly. And the answer is not necessarily. There are issues to be considered if you rack that shotgun. You see, making the noise like that will tell the intruder where you are.
Right. It notify him that, hey, I'm here, that you're armed, pretty much, right? That I am armed. Now he
yep,
has the ability
and now,
to plan. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he has ability now, you know, to plan for a more detailed attack, knowing that where you are and what you have. And, you know, oh, yeah,
that's
she has
right,
a shotgun. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this may increase his motivation to use lethal force, where before he just wanted to grab your stuff and move on. So that's another issue to consider.
Right. If a shotgun is to be used for self-defense, then there should already be a shell in the chamber, right, waiting to rack the slide in the event of, you know, emergency may cause more problems. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud about this. Is that?
And the answer is absolutely. You see, panic manipulation, and in this situation, there's a stranger in your house, there's an attack upon you, and you're going to panic. And in the event of an emergency, the last thing you want to do is panic.
Absolutely.
Because panic manipulation may cause you to not rack the slide of the shotgun properly, and maybe even causing a malfunction, requiring additional manipulation to clear that malfunction. And now you have one panic issue upon another, and it goes downhill from there. And, you know, we want the person to react clearly, definitively, with purpose, to dispel the attack, to stop the assault, and keep that innocent person safe.
Training comes in play on that one. Good solid training, you know. Take control of the situation as well. I mean, you know, hard to say than done, I guess, you know, during the circumstances like that. But yeah, the key is that take control of the situation by having learned all of these training skills and techniques, what to do during the emergency situation such as that one. Let's pick up where we left off last time, talking about the myth of self-defense. I mean, I think we do still have time, a little bit of time right now. Let's go ahead and do that, the myth of self-defense. What are your insights regarding that? Because we talk about
Well, you know, it's so funny, Nikki, because the average person does not believe that they will ever be attacked. That's why so many people say, well, gee, why do you need to own a gun? I mean, you know, we live in a safe city, you live in a safe neighborhood. But see, Nikki, the odds of a person being attacked at least once in their lives is greater than 50-50.
The attack of the, isn't a martial arts training the best way to defend then, therefore, yourself without having to use this kind of, you know, tool guns or anything like that?
Well, martial arts is definitely
the common question.
Martial arts is definitely something that everyone should be familiar with and have a little bit of training in, and have as much as you can. But see, martial arts is more often than not effective against another martial arts practitioner of the same discipline. Ask a martial arts master, and most people who engage in martial arts training do not become masters. Their exposure to the art is limited to a couple of years. Now, yes, they learn something, and that's excellent, better than not, but that's not going to wind up being your primary defensive tool.
All right, let's talk a little bit about pepper spray in that regard.
Yeah, well, pepper spray, again, another myth. You see, pepper spray is good. It does work, sometime, half of the time, but it is not a good deterrent against a motivated attacker. You see, criminals have oftentimes been sprayed before, and they wind up building up an immunity to its effects. In addition, guns, alcohol, and rage can and will mitigate the effectiveness of pepper spray.
Very true on that said. What about then stronger concentration of pepper spray? I mean, I just thought in my mind right now, okay? I'm not giving up on this one.
The great marketing ploy. If size A is good, then size AA is better. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Because, see, strong pepper spray is really no more effective than lower strength sprays. The nervous system shuts down immediately upon being sprayed. Consequently, stronger concentrations of pepper sprays are really no effective. It's analogous to like getting a burn. Your finger gets burned by touching the stove, and you don't feel anything right away. Why? Because your nerves shut down.
Yeah, right. Well, is there any other consideration regarding pepper spray, therefore, then?
Well, yeah, and most people don't consider this. Can the spray come back and spray the victim?
Yeah.
In windy conditions, you're outside, you're going to the ATM machine, and there's a gentle breeze, and you just happen to be downwind. You come up with that little spray, you spray it, and bam, right back in your own eye.
It's like, whoopsie, what did I just do? Okay, right?
Yeah, so if you orientate yourself to the wind, sure, but in a panic situation, not likely.
All right, then this one, knife. A knife is an effective self-defense tool.
Absolutely it is. However, again, there's this caveat. Because, see, there's no perfect tool. If you're not practiced in knife fighting, if you're not practiced in the use of swinging that thing, you may put yourself at serious risk. You see, knife fighting, in essence, is hand-to-hand combat. And in a knife fight, the odds of each person suffering a knife cut is over 90%.
Wow, that's pretty, Okay, yelling and screaming as an effective defense. I've been approached by that question, by the way. How about yelling
well,
and screaming to be used as effective defense, because we can't carry anything around, Dad, and we don't believe in this lethal forces tools, you know? Go ahead.
Well,
me.
Yelling and screaming is definitely, you know, not a bad idea. But the problem is, if you're going to rely upon that as your self-defense, well, hey, not such a great idea. You know, what you're really doing then is that you're relying on others to come to your defense.
Yes, you're asking somebody else to put their lives at risk for you. Look, putting up a fight will greatly increase the victim's chances of minimizing the total amount of this potential injury. So in many cases, resistance stops the assault. Okay, what about some kind of impact tool like, I don't know, keys, pencil, pen, stick, broom, utensil, garden hose, I don't know, any hard object that can, that at a given circumstance, you know, given time, that a person hold in their hand and use as a striking tool for self-defense.
Absolutely. Yes, you can pick up anything, you know, a stapler, a, you know, anything, a hand calculator, and use it as a defensive tool. But again, here's the issue. You're in hand-to-hand combat. I mean, really, Nikki, do you really think it's a good idea for a 5-foot lady at 97 pounds, you, going into hand-to-hand combat with a 6-foot-4, 240-pound, crazy, drugged-up, insane individual? You know what? Hand-to-hand combat with that disparity is that's a losing proposition from the get-go.
I don't know. I mean, I'll grab my Desert Eagle in that regard. I think we do have some time here with callers. Do you mind if I take some callers? I see a studio here, a few callers calling in.
Absolutely.
All right. We've got about 8 minutes in the right now left. Let's see. Okay, caller number one. Go ahead, please. This is, I think it's an 805 number. Hello? Hello, you're on air.
Nikki?
Yes, hi. Who's this?
It's Patrick. How are you doing?
Hey, Patrick. Oh, Patrick Garrity. How are you doing? Good morning.
I made it.
How? Good morning. Patrick Garrity was my featured guest on my last show last week, talking about survival, situational, and then he is the former U.S. Marine Scout Sniper. Welcome back. You know, we talk a lot today, this morning already, covering a lot of different variety of topics of defense. And were you able to listen to a lot of it or some of it?
Yeah, you guys have a real interesting subject talk you're talking about today.
What are your thoughts on some of this combat knife? Well, I know that you're into that as well. So give us your insights on that. Any questions regarding that or any insights?
Well, initially, what I want to say is your other guest talked about a whole range of weapons of opportunity, knives, the difference between handguns and shotguns and different calibers. I view all of that as tools in your kit bag. You know, in your bag of tools, any knowledge on any of those subjects is useful. And he mentioned about a 97-pound woman that's 5 feet tall going up against an attacker that's much larger. Any of those tools are effective against anybody. Most of the training that Rudy and I do out of defensive firearms training is based off of multiple attackers even. So size in that situation, you really don't go into the situation thinking, oh, my God, he's bigger than me, I'm screwed, you know. You use all of those tools, whatever you have available to you, to address that threat. And if that's pepper spray, you're absolutely right. With pepper spray or mace, you could be downwind. Usually, when adrenaline's pumping, the mace or pepper spray is not going to be that effective. 22 calibers against adrenaline is not going to be that effective. You know, a shotgun as a home defense weapon, I usually recommend for men, and your other guest is absolutely right in this, I recommend a shotgun for men but handgun for women, because of how you need to maneuver in your own home with a longer weapon like that. It's much harder to address the recoil than it is with a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get instances where you have maybe elderly women that are by themselves that have a handgun and whatnot. So you start to think about, well, should I have a revolver or a semi-automatic? And my recent experience, my 64-year-old mother, who's had really bad arthritis for many years now, recently asked me to take her to the gun range and help her figure out what gun she should buy for home defense.
Oh.
I was ecstatic about that. I was like, oh,
wow.
My mom's asking me.
Great on her,
so,
my kind of girl. Right.
So I gave her my recommendations and, had her think through some possible scenarios and whatnot. And what we wound up doing was going to, like I usually do, is I took her to the range and she shot semi-autos, revolvers, all the different calibers. And what we wound up deciding on was the Glock.
She liked the Glock.
She liked the Glock. It was the 9mm, mainly because of the magazine capacity.
Mm-hmm.
With a revolver, you don't have as many rounds if you have multiple attackers when the adrenaline
right.
gets pumping. If you can't control that weapon and make every round count in a stressful situation, then 6 to 8 rounds is maybe not the best way to go. So
that's true. Right, and plus it's ergonomically friendly, I'm imagining, for her as well.
Right, different grip you have to use with the revolver, and the recoil's a lot different. Just a lot of different things going on there. What we ran into some problems, though, with how she utilizes the semi-automatic because of her arthritis and because of her small hands. She cannot lock the slide to the rear, so the way we moved around that was she has a spare magazine that's always empty, and the slide locks back on an empty magazine. So all she has to do is take out the live mag, put in an empty magazine, and pull the slide to the rear without having to address the slide lock lever. And then it locks for her right away. So that's how she stores it.
Whatever it takes. I mean,
exactly.
Go ahead.
It's not the best way to store a weapon with a slide lock to the rear, but really all she has to do now is pull the gun out of her nightstand, insert a magazine, and release the slide and go to gun. And the reason why we went with the Glock is because there's no depopping levers, there's no external safeties, nothing to mess with when the adrenaline's pumping and you're stressed out because of a crazy situation that's happening, you really want to just have something that you can use immediately, and in those situations where every second counts, that's an advantage to you. If you don't have a weapon, as with the last show, we talked about combative techniques, combative martial arts, very effective, especially for a 97-pound woman that's trying to fight off multiple attackers. Last week we talked about eye gouging and lethal strikes, not just punches and knees, because someone that's all hopped up on drugs trying to attack you is going to laugh at you if you try and throw a knee at them, so lethal combative techniques are
that will draw blood.
Yeah, anything that would incapacitate the threat immediately.
Incapacitate, right.
What you want to go for.
Yeah, any thoughts on that, Mr. Stefani?
Well, I'm not here to talk about a specific weapon right now or specific techniques, because what we're talking about is giving the options for the woman so that she can assess what is best for her. And there are a number of different techniques that are available. It is as custom as the individual. Every person is built differently. And, yes, there are some standard solutions. But in the long run, we're really talking about customizing something for a person who's not familiar with the gun culture. She comes to the Women on Target program, which I believe is probably the best program available in the country today to introduce a woman to the world of self-defense using a handgun. And I cannot emphasize more how women listening today to this program should call their or contact their local NRA representative, go online, find out where the next Women on Target program is, learn about the basics of safety,
yes.
and all of the issues regarding the ownership and use of a handgun. Use different handguns. And then ultimately, now, once this Woman on Target program is finished, she's not going to be an expert in handgun, but she will be able to now determine, well, does she want to go on? Does she wish to take more gun lessons from one of the instructors that she meets there? See, that's why this program is so important, because it introduces her to the women, to the world of self-defense, using a handgun in an orderly, safe environment. There's a lot of women around her. In fact, there are no male students in the program. It's all women. The instructors are both men and women, so she can feel comfortable with either. It's just a really safe environment for women. And then from there, then we can go into the customizing and does, you know, is the Glock better? Is the Smith & Wesson better? These are subjective issues that our purpose today is to simply offer to the woman who's considering the idea of self-defense with a handgun. How does she go about doing it? What are the questions that she needs to ask? And then from there, let's safely guide her into an area where she will no longer be a victim, where she can, you know, feel safe in her home, and in those states where she's allowed to get a concealed carry permit, she can feel comfortable carrying that gun, knowing that she doesn't have to just give up and give the attacker whatever he wants.
Great information, very great resources from also my guest, other guest, Mr. Patrick Garrity. Also, it's equally as important to have that self-defense choices and you know, to protect ourselves for survival. And then Mr. Richard Stephanie as well. I'm running out of time. I only have a few seconds left, I think, here. Oh, my goodness. Time flies when we're having too much fun, right, you guys? Hey, any last thought, Mr. Patrick Garrity?
I agree with that program. I actually feel, Nikki, that you're the best example of what a female should be doing as far as self-protection. You know, you've trained in self-defense. You continuously train and stay physically fit. You've done handgun courses, shotgun courses, assault rifle courses, long gun courses, knife defense courses.
Yes, sir.
You know, that is how you train to defend yourself. Training is continuous throughout your life. You may just pick up a combative martial arts 1 year, and the next year you focus on handgun. Just continuous training is where I think you make your money. Doing a program like the Women on Target program, as well as what your other guest said about finding an instructor there and getting private training, as well as going to different schools and seeking different instructors that will teach you different things. You know, not every instructor teaches you the same thing, even just how to hold the gun. There's so many different ways on how to grip and stance. You know, if you know all of those different techniques, you're a much more well-rounded and much more defensive person, I believe.
Yes, sir.
And I really feel like you're a great example for that.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Thank you so very much. Thank you very much. I mean, I'm trying to just share my skills and, you know, knowledge to other women out there who, you know, hopefully listening to this. Hey, we have a lot of good ratings so far, so they are connected with this program, connected with these topics. I'm very humbled to know that. And Mr. Richard Stefani, any last thoughts?
Well, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, Nikki. Thank you for coming forth and sharing your information and notifying so many women who have this question in their mind
yes,
that
sir.
They would like to do something about this, but they don't know where to go. So
yes,
again, thank you, Nikki, for making this program available to so many women across the country, because, you know, we're all here to protect the innocent, and I believe that this show will help do exactly that. So thank you very much, Nikki, for having us on the show.
Oh, likewise. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Please join us back again next time for more Nut Talks discussion. Stay tuned. I believe our next show will be scheduled to air on Friday, 2 weeks from today, Friday, July 12th. Again, Friday, July 12th, at the same time, 10 o'clock, 10:30. I'm very humbled to have you both, Richard Stephanie and also Patrick Garrity, on my studio this morning. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insights and knowledge and skills and talents. And please come back and join us again, okay? And just so you know, this program is available on iTunes for free. Click on the podcast.
is on iTunes Podcast. Type in Nikki Dare, N-I-C-K-Y Dare, D-A-R-E. Again, thank you so very much. Listen to this program again, you guys, and share it with your other friends, families, and who wants to listen to this, who are not able to listen today. Please do. Again, thank you so very much. In the meantime, be safe, and stay in condition yellow. Watch your six. Any questions? 1-866-280-6888 or email us at radio@idareweb.com. I'm Nikki Dare, your host, signing off. Gentlemen, enjoy your weekend. Thank you so very much again for being in the show this morning.
All right. Bye-bye, Nikki.
Okay,
thanks,
enjoy your weekend.
Nikki, have a good...
Bye now. You too, signing off. Bye-bye now.
You have been listening to Nikki Dare's Radio, a podcast of sustainability with your host, Ms. Nikki Dare. To learn more, please visit Ms. Dare's website, education.nikkidare.com. Workshops on safety preparedness, situational awareness are available. Also available, the Transformational Coaching Series. For corporate and private group pricing, please contact us. She also offers both private and group classes in firearms training, handgun, rifles, and shotgun for individuals and families, and home invasion scenarios. For details on Nikki Dare's outdoor hiking, yoga, and her other outdoor activities, and her passion for fitness and upcoming classes, please visit her website, NikkiDare.com. Join the community conversation to network and learn on different outdoor fun on her website, NikkiDare.com/freeforum. Follow her on LinkedIn and her social media, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, Pinterest, and Facebook. Or simply watch her tutorial videos, you can subscribe to her YouTube channel, Nikki Dare. All about her books and inspirational quotes can be found on her website, books.nikkidare.com. Check out her newest website, travel.nikkidare.com, for all travel resources, savings, and tips. Her calendars, both of living in purpose and passion, as well as her exclusive edition of Firearm Safety, are available for order on her website, NikkiDare.com. All of her broadcasts are available for free download on iTunes podcast, Nikki Dare. For more details on opportunities for sponsorships and speaking engagement, please email us at education@NikkiDare.com. Join her next time, living in purpose and passion. Our mission is to live a sustainable life with your host, Nikki Dare.